2017, I was here for 4 months helping the church. And after that, we joined these mission organizations, and we have been we went back to Asia to serve. So we have been back in Asia to serve for almost 2 years already. It's 2 years already. So we thank God for that. And maybe I just, I'll let you see it. Can you just help me to... I need to see the screen for me. So can turn a bit so I can see. Okay. That's better. Okay, this is my family. Okay, this is a photo taken when my son got married this year in April the 20th. So in the center is my son and my daughter-in-law. And also, I think on my right-hand side is my youngest daughter and my oldest daughter, my granddaughter. Yeah, we thank God that my granddaughter, Josephine, also went through this heart surgery just a few weeks ago. She is recovering well. We thank God for that. And by my side is my son-in-law. My son-in-law is he is right now working with this Creation Ministries International. Okay, CMI, Creation Ministry International. So this is my family. So I thank God that although myself, my wife is back in Asia, but God has taken care of my children. And so we want to thank God actually for the past 2 years that we have been able to, to serve mainly in China. So we have been to a lot of these, for the past 2 years, we have been to many cities in China to teach, to train the leaders there and also the believers there. And I know that maybe some of you have heard about, recently, I mean, for the past few years, there have been the authorities is cracking down on especially those house churches. And some of the things that they did is that, so these are some of the photos I just need to show you first. Okay, some of the classes we had taught in some of the cities. Okay. So we want to thank God that as the believers in China, they really have the eagerness to learn, because there are so few resources they have over there. So whenever there's a foreign, those overseas teachers come into their midst, they will take the opportunity to come and to learn. Usually our training session or our class will last for a week, or it's intensive. So usually we start on Monday morning and end at this afternoon, Friday afternoon. So it's full day class for them. So we thank God that many of them are willing to come from far away places. Okay, even from different provinces, they'll come, they took a train ride for maybe 10 hours or 15 hours to come to attend the classes. And they are willing to, to set aside their businesses, or if they have a business, they will set aside their business, or if they have anything they are going on with their life, they will set aside that, then to come for the training. And actually, we felt that, if we're going to have it here in America, in the States here, you ask people to come for a full day of training, it would be difficult. Don't say that, it's for 5 days. But if for 1 day also, it's difficult for people not to come. But we see that the believers in this China, they are willing to set aside, maybe 5 days a week to come for the training. And we thank God that although it's not easy sometimes, because we know that especially it's illegal for these foreigners or from to come to China to have any these religious activity, to conduct this religious activity or to train or to teach there is illegal. And but then every time that when going to China, we are concerned we will be found out by the authorities. But then every time when we are with these students, when we are with them, teaching them, and we are so happy, you know, to able to have this opportunity to interact with them and to share with them whatever the Lord has taught us. And especially, you know, to see that they can learn something, okay, out of these classes. But then we all need to pray so we want to ask you to continue to pray for us, especially, you know, for our safety. This is our most, concern, because that right now is getting more stricter. I mean, in China, in China, if you go to, how many of you have been to China? Well, quite a number of you. Maybe some of you are from China already. So you know that there are more and more they install more and more these CCTVs all over the places. So you felt that you are always, when you are in China, you felt the sense that you are being monitored all the time. Okay, wherever you go, okay, there will be a CCTV, okay, to watch every move, okay. And so pray for us that we can continue to go on with our ministry over there. And some of us have asked us, because we have been doing this for 2 years already. So what some of us have, some of you have asked us, you know, what is our future plan? We have committed for another 2 more years to continue with the ministry over there. And we do not know when the door will be closed. Because the government or the authority is becoming more strict with those foreigners coming in. So we do not know when the door will be closed. But at this time, we still have this opportunity to go in. So we just, as long as the door is still open, we are willing to go over there. And until the door is closed, then maybe we have to quit, okay? But at this time, we are continuing on with our ministry over there, and we continue to need your support. So pray for us, and also especially pray for the church in China. Okay, I think that they need a prayer from us at this moment of time, because as you heard that the authorities are demolishing crosses from this church building. Okay, so you can see that a lot of churches in China, you can see that there's no more cross on the rooftop. Okay, and also they are cracking down on those house churches, especially those house churches that are not registered with the government. Okay, in China, basically you have this official church. Okay, those are registered with the government, and those unofficial church, which we call the house church, they are not registered with the government. They may meet in a house, or they may meet in a place that they rent. Okay, but then the government is cracking down on them, and they have been a lot of these house churches have been closed, and also they install also CCTVs at the entrance and also in the main sanctuary of the church, so they can monitor all the activities that's happening in the church, okay? And also they are limiting the sales of the Bibles, and it's getting more difficult for the believers there to buy the Bibles. Okay, in the past they can buy boxes of Bible at one time, but right now they can only buy the Bibles, one or two Bibles at a time, okay? So they are limiting the sales of the Bible. And also the church or the church and the church pastor and the church leaders, especially from those official churches, they are being pressured by the government, by the authority, to support the ideology of the Communist Party. Okay. So you can see that if you go to church in China, sometimes you can see a lot of posters being put up, okay, by the government. Okay, to support ask the believers to support the ideology of this Communist Party. But I think out of all this, the most serious thing is that they are forbidding children and young people under 18 years of age to go to church. I think this is the most serious thing. Yeah, they are forbidding these children and young people under 18 years of age to go to church. Okay, maybe for some of you, for young people here, well, this is good news. we have the excuse of not coming to church because now the government said so. They don't allow us, so we can stay at home and do our own things. We know that this is very serious because the church can no longer, it means that the church can no longer have this youth ministry or this children ministry. Yeah. So a lot of churches, especially those official churches, they are being, if they continue to have this children ministry, they will be fine, and they'll talk to the pastors and the leaders of the church. And a lot of them, they just stop the ministry altogether. So, and of course, there are some house churches, they still continue on with the ministry, but they have to be very careful. If they found out by these authorities, they also will be closed down too. And we pray that, although such thing this thing is happening right now, and the people, the leaders are concerned whether we will lose a generation, the younger generation, you see. Because the church no longer have this opportunity to teach the Bible to the children. But also this is a wake-up call to all Christian parents to take up the responsibility of teaching the Bible to their children. In the past, you see, a lot of parents also, they delegate this responsibility to the church or to the Sunday school teachers. But right now, the church can no longer have this children ministry or youth ministry. So it's a wake-up call to all Christian parents, okay, to take up this responsibility of teaching this Bible to the children themselves. So it's one way also, it's a good thing also, okay, for Christian parents to take up these responsibilities. Because although the authority can forbid the church to continue on with the children ministry or youth ministry, but they, not as parents, they still have this opportunity to teach the Bible to their children. Okay. And I would like to read this. We want to share with you from the passage that is from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9. Can we read together, okay, this passage? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Okay. This is very important and famous passage in the Old Testament. It's called the Shema, or Hear. Okay, and start with the Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel. And for the Jews, now they recite this passage every day. Okay, morning and night, they recite this passage to remind themselves four things. The first thing is that the Lord God is one. Okay, the Lord God is one. Okay, they are only to worship one God. Okay, and the secondly is to remind them that they are to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Okay, they are to love God full heartedly. Okay, and thirdly, they are to keep God's commandment in their heart. Okay, they are to keep God's commandment in their heart. And fourthly is to teach your children to obey God's commandments. So they decide this passage day and night to remind them that the Lord God is one, and to love God with all their hearts and soul and strength, and to keep God's commandments upon their heart, and to teach our children to obey God's commandment. And I think this is also very a good reminder for every one of us here, for us as Christian, okay, that we are to worship, we are to know and believe that the Lord God is one. Of course, in the New Testament, as God revealed himself, we know that we believe in the Old Testament that this one God is a Trinitarian God. That means God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And also in the New Testament, also it tells us that we are also to love God with all our heart, soul, and strength. And important also that we have to keep God's commandment in our heart, upon our heart. And I hope that, you know, as each Sunday, as you come here to hear the pastor's sermons, you are not only listen 1 year in, then it come out, the message come out from another year. Okay, you forget about it. But you have to keep God's commandment in your heart. Okay. And I think it's a good practice also, you know, that if you can, every Sunday when you go back, before you go to sleep tonight, you can think about it, to recall, you know, what the pastor had preached this morning, okay, to recall back, so that you can, you know, at least think about, you know, the sermons that, the message that the pastor had preached from the Bible. And fourthly is to teach, I think more important is that to teach your children to obey God's commandment. So that, you know, your children and your children's children can continue to walk in the way of the Lord. And I think as parents, especially of us, for us as parents, okay, we want our children to continue to walk in the way of the Lord. But we have this responsibility that, you know, to teach them to obey God's commandment. Now, how do we teach that, you know? And especially this morning, I like to center my sermon on the fourth point, how to teach our children to obey God's commandment. Okay? I think firstly is that for us as parents is that to be a role model or to be an example before our children. And it's so important that we cannot say that we no longer can say to our children, we cannot say to our children, don't do what I do, but do what I say. Okay? don't do what I do, but do what I say. Now, you think that your children will buy it? You will tell them that? will just follow what you said and don't follow what you do? I don't think so. So as parents, we need to set an example and to be role model for our children. And I think that how can we be a model or example for our children? I thought a verse that Paul has said to this Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, he says that, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity." So Paul had listed down five areas that Timothy are to set example before the congregation or before the believers. That is in speech or in life or in conduct or in love and in faith and purity. I think as parents also we need to set examples before our children in these five areas, in our speech. Okay, do the words that come out from our mouths are critical or negative or good, but so we have to think about it. And also in our conduct, how we conduct ourselves. And also in love, do we love God and also love others? And also in faith, do we know in every situation that we rely on God or have faith in God? And also to live a holy life before them. So these are the five areas, I think, as parents that we have to set an example before our children. And secondly is to have a family devotion together. It says here, talk about them when you sit at home, okay, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up, you see, and you sit at home. Of course, and this verses is telling the Israelites, to talk about God, to talk about, the commandments of God, all the time or in different settings. But here, I just want to point out, when you sit at home, when we gather as a family, I think we should also have time that we can talk with our children about God, okay? And especially, it's good for us, I think, as Christians, as both parents are Christian, that we can have a devotion time with our children, okay? And we can start from when our children are small. It's easier. And in the past, now I thank God that, you know, for our family, that we have tried to do that too. Although that sometimes, you know, in our busyness, and we are so busy that we tend to stop also. But then it's time that God reminds us again, then we continue on, we take up again for to have this family devotion together. So it's important that you do not need to do it every week. Maybe it's not. You can do it a few times a week, or maybe a two or three times a week. And you do not need to say it, to have it half an hour or 1 hour. I don't think the children were able to stand for it, because also they had to need to do their homework and the other things that they need to do. So maybe you can have it, 15 minutes or 20 minutes, okay, each time that you can have a family devotion together. You can read the Bible together, you can pray together, and you can ask them, whether they had anything that you can pray for them. I think the children love it, you see, that, that the parents, and they know their parents can pray for them, the problems and issues they are facing in school. And thirdly is to use every opportunity in life to teach them, okay, as it says here, talks about them, okay, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up, okay. So you do not need to, like, confine your this teaching in a very formal moment, okay, when you have this family devotion time. But you can know in throughout the days, in whatever situation they are in, you can also know ask God for wisdom to use every opportunity to teach your children God's word. No, as I say that, that recently my son was laid off, after working for a few years with this company AIG, was laid off recently, and he's trying to look for a job since. And we also use this opportunity to encourage my son, to trust in God, okay, and to trust in God, to ask God to open the way for you. And also, we also encourage him that, maybe, I think it's good that you experience this, you see, that next time when other people that, go through the similar things, you can also encourage them, So we have to use every opportunity in life to teach our children, okay? Just like Jesus, he used every opportunity, to teach his disciples, okay? So, and also as parents, we need to know what the Bible teaches about children, okay? Need to know what the Bible teaches about children. And firstly, we have to learn that the children are precious in the eyes of the Lord. Maybe in this, sometimes we in today's society, maybe people do not really care about children, okay? But children are precious in the sight of the in the eyes of the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 14, he says that, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." Okay. Now, as I read this verse, Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." But I think in China, the authority is trying to what? Hinder the children to come to Jesus. You see? And especially in China right now. Okay, but Jesus said that, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." So children are precious in the eyes of God, okay? Because Jesus also died for them. Okay, Jesus not only died for the adults, but Jesus also died, okay, for the children. Okay. So children are precious in the eyes of the Lord. And secondly, children also need to hear the gospel. Okay, children also need to hear the gospel. Why? Because as David says in Psalms 51 verse 5, he says that, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." See, even the small children, they are born in sin. Okay, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my father conceived me." As I read this this verse, I felt that, I don't know whether you agree or not. Sometimes we see that when we hold small children, baby, wow, they are so cute and so adorable. Huh? we felt that they are so what? 很纯洁, that means they are so innocent, they are so pure, okay. But actually the Bible says they are what? they also are, they are little sinner. They are little sinners. Okay. And I'm not too sure whether you agree or not with me that every one of us, every little child, have the potential, because they are born in sin, they have the potential to become the next, what, Hitler, the next Stalin. Maybe it's, no, it's too extreme. But then every one of us, you know, because all of us are born in sin, okay, we are all the little sinners. They are all little sinners. So because of that, children need to hear the gospel, okay, need to hear the gospel too. And thirdly, they are, at this point of time, they are most responsive to the gospel. Okay, they are most responsive to the gospel. As Paul said to this Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, he says, "And now from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." So the children also can understand and can respond to the gospel if we share with them, okay? And so we have to grab hold of this opportunity to share the gospel and to with them that we believe that, you know, the Holy Spirit can not only work in the adults, but the Holy Spirit can also work in small, in children, okay? And to help them to understand the gospel and help them to come to believe in Jesus Christ, okay? And that's why, I mean, I think we have heard about in mission, we have heard about 1040 window, okay? Okay, this is the area that most like Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and non-religious, a large population of these non-Christians living in this area. So we the missiologists are calling the churches to concentrate or to give our attention to this area, 1040, they call it 1040 window. But right now is that they are also have the what we call the 1014 window. That means 1014 is referred to the age of between 4 to 14. Okay, it's 4 to 14. Because these age groups are the most responsive to the gospel. Are most responsive that to the gospel, and we need to grab hold of this opportunity to share the gospel with them. Okay. And fourthly is that children also need to be taught. Okay, need to be taught. Okay. Because they are born sinners, they do not even after they have accepted Jesus Christ, we still need to continue to teach them. Okay, the word of God, that so that they can continue to grow in the Lord. As Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it said, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." Okay, so indeed, that this is our hope. I think also it's it's a hope of every, a prayer and hope for every parents here. We want our children, okay, to walk in the way of the Lord, okay? When he is old, he will not turn away from it. Now, sometimes as pastors, we have, you know, parents come and share with us, you know, how their children have turned away from the Lord, how their children have departed from the Lord and no longer in the church or anything. They feel so sad, you see. So I don't think so. We want that to happen to our children too. But then we need to also, you know, as parents, we need to also bear the responsibilities also to, you know, teach them the word of God while they are young, so that when they grow old, in a way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not turn from it. Lastly is that, you know, we know that God can use children too. Okay, God can use children too. And as in Psalms chapter 8, verse 2, it says that through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Okay. Now, maybe we felt that, you know, the children are small and they cannot serve or anything. But then we know that, you know, if we give them the opportunity and we teach them, they can also be used by God, just as for many examples in the Bible. Just like, you know, this Samuel. or just like David, or just like the boy in this during the time that he offered up his five loaves and two fishes to be used by the Lord to perform this miracle to feed the 5,000. Okay, so we believe that God can use children for His kingdom. And I know that you have been in a congregation, English congregation. You are going through the series of this, the Genesis, talking about the life of this Joseph. Okay, and we hope that everyone, our children, can become the next Joseph too. Can become a Joseph that God can use. Okay, yeah, for His kingdom. So I mean, there's an African proverb that says that it takes a village to raise a child. Okay, it takes a village to raise a child. So as parents, we cannot dedicate all the responsibility of the teaching of children to the Sunday school teacher or to the church. We ourselves also have to bear the main responsibilities. If you consider sometimes the time that the children have with you and also the time that the children have in the church. Now, the children can only know in the church, maybe they just spend about 2-3 hours, okay, in the church, which is very short time. But the time they spend at home or with you is much longer. Okay, so, but of course, I think as parents and the church can work together to raise the child, to disciple our child together. Okay. So my prayer is that we can continue to pray for parents. As parents, we pray that God will give us wisdom, okay, and that how we can teach our children. And also to pray for our children. Okay. Maybe some of you will feel that, maybe your children have grown up already. And maybe your children are not walking in the way of the Lord. But you can continue to pray for them. We know that God will hear your prayer. And God will one day speak to them and bring back them again. And also pray for the Sunday school teachers. We need to pray for the Sunday school teachers. It's not an easy assignment to be the Sunday school teachers nowadays. Okay, it's difficult to teach children nowadays. But we need to pray for them. Okay, we need to appreciate the Sunday school teachers. Okay, and give them all the resources that they need to help to teach the children. Okay, so we need to pray for ourselves, pray our children, and also pray for the Sunday school teachers. That together we can disciple our next generation. Okay, and also because the future of the church depends on them. Okay, and because also there's a concern, especially in China. Now, because right now the church can no longer have children and youth ministry. Can you imagine that a church, let's say our church, we do not have children and youth ministry. What will happen to the church? We have lost a generation, okay? We have nobody that will step up next time, okay, to take over the church, okay? The future of the church depends on our children. And before I close, I have a short video that I want you all to watch, okay? It's related to what I'm going to share this morning. And after that, we will have communion together.